too heavy that he can't bear. Thank you so much, Melissa, for that. That blessed my heart this morning. I encourage you to be finding in your copy of God's Word the book of Jude. Would you look there with me, please, the book of Jude? If you've been with us, then you know we've been in a series that we have titled A Letter Exposing Modern-Day Apostasy. 2 weeks ago, I spoke to you about Jude's introduction as he said, "Please allow me to introduce myself." We dealt with verse number 1 and all the wonderful truth that we found just in verse number 1 alone. And then we followed that up in verse number 2. 9 short words in verse number 2. But there's a whole lot in the mercy, peace, and love of God that we can learn. We talked to you that day about how Jude was saying, "Sound the battle cry." The church needs to get up and be aware of what's going on all around us. Today I want us to move into verse number 3. Verse 3 is where Jude transitions from his greeting, from his introduction, and he moves into the actual reason as to why he was writing this letter, which was to expose apostasy. We're reminded of that. We come into verse number 3 and we see some truth that is found here that we desperately need to consider. Tell you what, before we do, I just hit me as we're doing things different. We need to dismiss children's church. If you notice that pause in my mind just then, we do things a little different, and that's the bad thing about doing things different. We get out of the routine. Mickey, come play us a verse or two or something. We're going to let them. Why don't y'all stand to your feet? And then we'll pick this up here in just a second. She's going to, y'all stretch your legs if you would, and she's going to play a verse or two or something. Play something fast, okay? Play something fast. Find something there. Put Mickey on the spot. I appreciate the privilege of being able to do that. That's a blessing. If you're in children's church and you're between the ages of 4 to 11, through 11, make your way on down right now. You'll be dismissed. We'll be praying for them as they go. Amen. Remain standing if you would. Let's read God's Word if we may. We're going to be praying for the children as they head to children's church this morning. But again, verse number 3 is where Jude transitions from his greeting and his introduction and into the main reason that he wrote this letter. I'm learning a lot from this letter, exposing modern day apostasy. Look at the verse with me. Verse number 3, it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." Now, you ought to underscore those words in your copy of God's Word. "It was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Now, Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm very well aware of the battle that we fight when we stand to preach the Word of God. Lord, I'm aware that there is demonic opposition to any time that your Word is open, any time your Word is spoken of and proclaimed. There's no doubt, Lord, that the demons of hell are trying to capture the attention and the hearts of people here today. I'm asking you, Lord, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that you would hear our cry this morning. I'm asking you, Lord, that you would draw back and push back all the opposing power of hell. The Spirit of God would have full and complete liberty to move in this service this morning, to change lives. I pray for that one man, woman, boy, or girl that may be here today, and they are lost without you. Would you draw them, I pray, unto you? May their life be changed by the power of the Word of God today. I thank you so much for those that have been saved of late. Lord, I pray that you'd do it again today. Lord, I'm reminded that you are a merciful God, a God that said today is the day of salvation, and may today be proven to be just that. May we experience that. Oh God, do a work. I pray for that discouraged believer today that's just hurting, struggling. Pray that you'd encourage them. But Lord, help your church now. May your church move forward, and may we study things and learn things from your Word that only you could teach. So Spirit of God, our teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. I heard the story some time ago about an elderly gentleman who had some very serious hearing loss. He'd struggled with this for for his entire life. He had gone to the doctor to have his hearing checked. When he did so, the doctor was able to fit him for a set of hearing aids that restored his hearing to perfection, 100% perfect. It was a month later that the man, the elderly gentleman, went back for his follow-up appointment with the doctor. The doctor told him, "Your hearing is perfect." To which the doctor continued to say, "Your family must be very excited that you could hear them speak again." The man replied, immediately said, "Oh, I've not told my family that I can hear them." The doctor said, "Oh my goodness, why not?" He said, "Because I've enjoyed so much sitting around and listening to their conversation." He said, "I've already changed my will 3 times. It sure is true. Folks, it really is true that it is easy for us to have a sudden change in plans, which is what I want to talk to you about today. A sudden change in plans when you have a better understanding of a bunch of stuff that's going on around you that you were not really aware of before. Have you ever had a time in your life when you have changed your mind? You have had a sudden change in plans? Folks, if you can't change your mind, are you even sure you have a mind left? I mean, I'm thankful. Isn't it wonderful to know that one of the greatest privileges that we have of having a mind is the fact that we can have a sudden change in plans in it? I'm thankful for that. We can change our mind at any time whatsoever. One of the privileges that we have of living each day is making decisions that are going to honor the Lord and seek God day by day as we live in this life. When we come to verse number 3 of the book of Jude, it's Jude's letter exposing modern-day apostasy. It is here that we find the writer Jude, and he is expressing to us that he has had a sudden change in plans. Now, I want to share with you just out of this one verse. Verse number 3, there's a wealth of information that we need to learn from God's Word today about this truth of a sudden change in plans, and 3 things that I want to lay on your heart. And I want you to write these things down as we study this matter of apostasy that we are dealing with. You may say, "Brother John, what exactly is apostasy?" And if you weren't here for our introduction message on this, let me just remind you, apostasy is a falling away of truth. In other words, it is an abandoning of things that you once professed and believed to be right. I remind us again that we are living in a day today where apostasy is everywhere. There is a falling away of truth, and it's going on in the New Testament or so-called New Testament churches of America every day, even in days like today, Sundays like today. There is a falling away of truth. Apostasy, as we'll learn next week, has crept in verse number 4. Now notice these 3 things with me. And when we talk about how Jude had a sudden change in plans, for us to fully be able to understand and grasp what Jude is saying, we've got to understand, first of all, his original intention. There was his original intention. Now, in the first few words of verse number 3, Jude clearly expresses to us what his original intention in writing this letter to us really was. And it may surprise some of us to know that it was not always apostasy. Now that's important for us to understand in the early moments of our study. It was not always apostasy. 3 things I want you to notice about his original intention. There is, first of all, that we see in verse number 3, the direction. The direction. Now, when I talk about the direction, I'm referring to the audience that Jude was directing his letter to or his writing to. The opening word of verse number 3, somebody look at it, it says, "Beloved." Do you see that? It's important that we realize that and we recognize that, because what Jude is actually doing, he is writing here to those that are beloved by God. In other words, those that are the children of God. His use of that word "beloved" is actually taking us back, even in part, to the words of verse number 1, where it says, "To them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called." Friends, if you've been saved by God's grace, how many have been saved? Say amen. Amen. If you know that you're saved, being a sanctified believer, being set apart to live for God, it ought to be the goal of your life. But what's important for us to know as well is that if you've been saved and if you desire to be sanctified, Every person that has ever been saved has been called of God to serve the Lord. Many believers don't realize that. They just think the calling is for the preacher, the Sunday school teacher, the missionaries, whatever it may be. But no, no. If you've been saved, God has a perfect calling and a perfect will for your life that you need to abide by. You need to find and you need to get into the middle of that. And Jude is saying right here that I am writing to the child of God, those that have been sanctified, those that are called into the work of God. One of the reasons people don't like reading the Bible, and one of the reasons that some people don't even put confidence in the Word of God sometimes, is because they don't know who the Bible is actually being written to in certain sections of it. They don't realize that God has a Word for them. I'm humbled to think in my own heart that the very righteous and holy God of heaven has a Word for me in His precious love letter. And when we really get a hold of who he's writing to, and in this case, it is to the child of God, it is to the believer, it really ought to mean something to us. Jude directs his letter to those that are serious about the Lord. I hope you're serious today about serving God. I hope you want the Lord to have full control of your life and be serious about Him. If you're saved, if you're seeking the Lord in a sanctified life, you are called, you ought to be serious. Jude is writing to you. He's writing to me in these words, and he's letting us know that he is directing that to the believer. But notice the diligence by which he directs it with. The diligence, further in verse number 3, he says, when I gave all diligence to write unto you. Now the word diligence, it is meaning earnestness. It is meaning eagerness. In other words, Jude had something that was, I tell you, he was chomping at the bits to give the people of God. There was a burning within his soul to write something to the saint of God, letting them know the message that God had put into his heart, and he wanted to get that message to the believer. This word diligence, it is giving us a better idea of why Jude wrote the way that he wrote. Jude wrote as we have and will continue to learn, especially when we get into verse number 4. We will learn the direct way by which he wrote. I mean, he was straight. He was gut and barrel straight. He told you exactly how it was. I like it when somebody just tells me exactly how it is. Doesn't just beat around the bush. Doesn't just drop hints or drop, you know, hint there or hint there, just letting me know what the, you know, in a roundabout way what they may think. I like it when somebody just looks at me straight in the eyes, brother, and says, this is the way it ought to be. And that's what Jude is doing. He's saying this is the way it ought to be. It is evident to us by that word diligent and even others as we read through the book of Jude. It is very evident to us that we can see that this man Jude was a passionate man for the Lord. He had some passion for God. He was a guy that not only wore his faith or had his faith on the inside in his heart, but it's evident that he also wore it on his shoulder as well. Everybody who knew Jude knew he was a child of God. Everybody in your life know you're a child of God? Everybody knew he was a preacher of the Word of God. He was a servant of the Most High God. He was called to do a great work. The reason God has all through the years used the life of Jude, and even today as we study this story in our lives, the reason God has used it is because, friends, passion for the Lord, it will take you to heights that you could have never imagined for Him. The reason the Church of America today is in such a mess and it is dying left and right all around us is because somewhere along the way, we lost our passion. We lost our desire. We lost that chomping at the bits attitude to go out and set this world ablaze for the glory of God. To go out and proclaim Christ. We lost our passion. We lost our tears. We are a people now that we have literally, folks, we have compromised out our convictions. We have scheduled out the Spirit of God. We have programmed out all the power of God. We have politicked out the prayer in the church. The greatest burden of my ministry is prayer and asking God to do something that we cannot do. We are living in a day that if God doesn't show up, we are literally finished, and we need God to intervene in our life. We need God to intervene in our church, in our country, in this virus that is going on around us. We need to be a people who get some passion about us and understand that God has placed us here to do something big and mighty with the brief time that He has left us in this place. We are now left in this world to be a light. that beacon of hope for this lost world that we are living in. But because we have lost our passion, folks, we are now left with a vehicle of flesh that is empty of the fuel that is required, that being the passion of God in our heart, to be able to move, to go on and do anything for the Lord. So many of us are just acting and living in our flesh. That's why we're not moving forward for God. That's why we're not seeing greater things happen in our families, our children saved, our churches explode for His glory. That's why we're not seeing revival in our nation anymore. We've become so cold, we have no passion anymore in our lives. But I want you to understand that Jude was a man that wrote and lived with the passion of Almighty God in his heart. He was directing his letter, his audience, to the child of God. But he did it in a very diligent way. But notice now his original intent when he was writing this letter. We see the deliverance that he writes about. There is the deliverance. Verse number 3 again. It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of what? The common salvation." I like that, Brother Joel. The common salvation. When he uses these words, common salvation, he was making a reference to the deliverance that he and other hell-bound sinners had found in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was talking about the salvation of God that had been given to him, and he found deliverance from what he deserved. Can I tell us today that I deserve to be in or on my way to hell? But there was a day that I knelt and I gave my heart to Christ, and there was deliverance that I found on that moment when I surrendered entirely to Him. This is very interesting because Jude's original intention was to write a letter to the church about some facet of the doctrine of salvation. Do you see that? The first part of the verse lets us know that Jude's original intention was to write about the grace of God, about a facet of the doctrine of salvation. It would appear that Jude was reliving all the good things God had done for him by means of the grace of God. It would appear that it was fresh in his heart and it was fresh in his mind as he was sitting down to write this letter. I can't help but believe that Jude was thinking back to those days when he was a boy, when he was growing up in the home of Jesus. Remember, he was the half-brother of the Lord Jesus. We studied that and we learned that. And I have to think that he was thinking back to all of those times that he had been so embarrassed by Jesus as a boy. Thinking about this holy roller that he probably called Jesus. This kid liked to have no fun whatsoever. And he was embarrassed by that. I can't help but think that Jude was thinking back to those days when he was a teenager, when he had rejected the person of Christ. He had maybe poked fun of him in front of some of his buddies. You ever done that? Poked fun of the things of God? Maybe he'd done that in front of some of his buddies when he was a teenager. He was probably thinking back to all of those times that he had avoided Jesus because, whenever he got around Jesus, there was that feeling of jealousy that just came up because Jesus always stole the spotlight. Jesus was the one that always got the attention. After the moment that Jude got gripped by the greatness of God, and after he gave his life entirely and wholly over to Christ, Jude came to Christ, and Jude knew after that point, he knew that Jesus saw all of those things. He knew that Jesus saw all of those times that he was jealous of him. All of those times that he had rejected him, all of those times that he had poked fun of him, Jude saw it all. But you know what Jude found? He found that when he came to Jesus in brokenness, he found that Jesus was just as merciful unto him, a sinner, as he had been anybody else. Jude was a guy who hadn't gotten over what God's mighty grace had done for him in his life. He was overwhelmed by it. There was a fresh level of this understanding that was going on in his life. And so he had sat down with every intention, with his pen out. His original intention was to write the old story of the grace of God one more time. But as he sat down to write, there was something that happened. You may say, Brother John, I thought for sure that Jude wrote a letter exposing modern-day apostasy. That's what you've been telling us about. He did. But that was not what his original intention was. His original intention was to write about the grace of God. But let's think now about his ordered interruption. His original intention, but his ordered interruption. Now, as we continue to read verse number 3, we see the remarkable transition that Jude had made from his original intention following his ordered interruption by God. And he makes this transition here, and he begins to deal with this matter of apostasy. Now, three things I want you to consider with me about this. We see, first of all, there is the demand. There is the demand. Now, I want you to think carefully with me about this. It was needful for me to write unto you. Needful for me to write unto you. That word needful, it means necessary or must needs. Necessary or must needs. Jude had every intention of sitting down and writing a letter exposing modern day apostasy. But before Jude could pull out his pen and before Jude had the ability to write the words, "Dear church," do you understand what happened? God interrupted his plan. Before he could go any further with that, God interrupted his plan, gave him a sudden change of plans by means of the Spirit of God, which, by the way, may we not forget, is in full control of the divine inspiration process. God was in control of how that they were going to be able to get the word that they were going to get. And so the Lord himself interrupted the plans of Jude from talking about the common salvation, talking about the grace that had been extended to them by God. I can't help but believe that old Jude, I can see him right now. He's walking down the hallway, maybe heading to his office. Maybe his office was in the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. Who knows? But he was heading to his office. He sits down at his desk. He turns on his candle, you know, his lantern that is there. He picks up his pen, and he begins to write. But before he could get his pen to paper and begin to write of these wonderful truths, it was all of a sudden that he got writer's block. You ever gotten writer's block? I get it 3 times a week. Whenever I go to try to write in a message, I get it 3 times a week. Writer's block. I cannot seem to be able to get the message written that I need to get written. It seems like that I struggle with it. It seems like that I cannot get the direction that I need. That's exactly where Jude is in this story right now. He sits down to write about the common salvation of God, the things that God has done for him in his life, but it seems like his hand just won't work anymore. It seems like his mind just is not able to process anymore. He is struggling knowing exactly what to say. And suddenly the Spirit of God, it just spoke to his heart and it said, Jude, the Lord said to Jude, son, I know you desperately want to go and write about the old story one more time. I want you to write about the common salvation of God. I want you to go and tell the story of grace. I really do. And I know that you want to write about it. But Jude, what you need to understand is I've already moved on Matthew to do that. I've already moved on Mark, on Luke, on John, on the Apostle Paul, and on Peter to do those things and a few others. Oh, Jude, I know you want to write about what God's done in your life and the grace that He's shown to you in your life, but I've got a bigger plan for you right now. I want you to take it a different direction. I've got a different message that I want you to share about the grace of God and how God's grace can deal in this matter that you are aware of and that you are struggling with. There was a sudden change in plans that Jude experienced right in the middle of this special time of writing. I don't know about you, but I tell you, I have come to the place where I like, I appreciate, and I am even grateful for the sudden change in plans that God gives to me. I have learned that whenever He gives me a different plan, I just need to go with it. His plans are always better than my plans. He knows far more about what He's doing than I could ever imagine what I'm doing. He knows how to handle things. But you know, sometimes I get in the way of it. Do you do that too? I get in the way of what the Lord really does want to do. I try to hinder God's work. I try to hinder God's plan. Friends, the greatest thing that we could ever do is just surrender to the sudden change in plans that God has for our life. No matter where you're at today, no matter what you're struggling with today, if you will just surrender to the change of plans that God has put in your life, you'll find Him put some pieces together that you could have never imagined. And in verse number 3, we are seeing the pieces put together. The pieces put together of what Jude has given us here in this letter exposing modern day apostasy, a falling away of truth. But then not only this do we see right here, the demand that God was giving Jude to write, but He was telling him, I want you to write about the doctrine. He says, I'm giving you a demand to write about doctrine. Now write that down very clearly, doctrine. Jude is sitting in his office right now. You get the picture? He's sitting in his office and he is sitting down and he is desiring to write a letter exposing or talking about the grace of God. And as he sits down, he gets that writer's block. And he's not able to pursue it. He's not able to figure out what direction that he needs to go. And he's really wrestling with how that he needs to do this. He was saying, oh Lord, I understand my heart is to write about the common salvation, but it seems like you're telling me that's not your will. That's not your plan for my life right now. And oh Lord, I'm willing, God, to do what you want me to do, but I just don't know what you're trying to tell me. I'm asking you to reveal this to me. And he was struggling with this. It was right in the middle of that time again that good, sweet Holy Spirit of God just spoke to his heart one more time. And he said, Jude, remember I told you, I've given you the ability to write something that nobody else can. You want to write about what Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Peter, and all the others have written about? No. I've given you a special gift. I've put you in a special place to be able to communicate a message that is not only now a big deal in the church of the old church, the Bible day church, but it is a big deal in our church today. It affects us with this matter of modern day apostasy. He says, Jude, I want you to write about this matter of apostasy. I want you to write about this subject because you have seen it, you have investigated, and you have felt the negative effects of what apostasy is doing, not only in the church, but in the life of believers and in the lives of those who are seeking truth. They are being detoured by false teachers, and they're being told things that are not true, that are not scriptural. He says, I want you to write a letter exposing modern day apostasy to the church. It would have been real, real easy for Jude to have argued with God, as you and I would have done probably. We would have argued with God. No. This is what's dear to my heart. I want to talk about the saving grace of God. I want to go a different route, Lord. And I tell you, I'm going to do it no matter what. That's not what you did. His heart was tender. He was sensitive to obey the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. He surrendered to a sudden change in plans. G. Jude said, Lord, if this is what you want me to write about, Lord, I will do it. I will do it. But I am depending on you to tell me what I need to say. You ever been in a situation before where you had no words to say? There was nothing that you had to offer. You were totally speechless. I tell you, you couldn't seem to get the next word out of your mouth, spiritually speaking, of what you needed to say, how you needed to say it, the approach you needed to take it. You couldn't seem to pull it all together. Imagine how Jude was right here. He's writing a letter that here we are nearly 2,000 years later. We're still reading this letter. Boy, when Jude sat down to start writing it, he had no idea. He planned to go a different direction, but God stepped in and he had a different plan for his life, a different plan for his situation. But it was with this and in the middle of this time that God gives him a word. And Jude begins to write the further words of verse number 3 that says, it was needful for me to write unto you and to, look at this, exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. The word faith that we see used here, it is the word that is pointing us back to the apostles' doctrine that is spoken of in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42, where it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Jude is speaking of that New Testament doctrine of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament doctrine of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which, by the way, it is worth defending and it is worth dying to preserve, because without that doctrine, there is no common salvation. Now, I want you to listen to me very closely because I'm going to say something that is contrary to the modern day movement of the church in America today. And I want you to listen very closely, and I want you to get this in your heart. It's going to make a difference in your life. Doctrine matters. Doctrine matters. And no matter what the next step of your life may be, doctrine matters. Don't you get sucked into the devil's vacuum of apostasy by just changing a little bit of the doctrines of God. Because I assure you that's going to take you down a path that's going to lead to destruction. Doctrine matters. And folks, we are heading down a dangerous, dangerous road when we start compromising on any form of doctrine. Now listen to me again very closely. You need to be very, very aware of these teachers or preachers who stand before their crowds or their congregations and they make statements a little something like this to their great crowds. They'll say something like, "We may not agree on everything, but we can agree on some things." That sounds all fine and good in the very beginning. It sounds perfectly innocent. And there is enough truth in that to make people feel comfortable. But may I lay it on our hearts today upon the authority of God's Word that when we hear language like that, that we may not agree on everything, but we can agree on some things while there is a little bit of truth. I agree with the basis of that statement. Anybody who publicly makes that statement to a great growing crowd that seems to be flourishing in ways quickly, that it's not built on fundamental truths of God's Word, you need to understand that that is exposing a weakness in that ministry or in that individual that is there. It is showing that there was an instability of the fundamental doctrines of God's Word. I want you to listen very closely, and I want you to understand this, okay? Because one day, if the Lord tarries, we're going to be exposed to this. It's going to come into our world. Can I tell us also that we need to be careful about churches that are growing so quickly that they cannot properly disciple those that are coming into those churches? Y'all know how I feel. You know how I want to see a church grow. You know what my conviction is about that. If the church isn't growing, if the church isn't bringing new people in it, there is something somewhere in the church that is out of the will of God. And so those of us that may have the idea that we don't want to see our church go, I want to be gracious, but I want to let you know that you are not fulfilling the New Testament principles of God's Word. It is the will of God for the church of God to prosper for the glory of God. But you need to be careful about that, because that's where you see these comments that come out that we may not agree with everything, but we are going to agree with some things. That kind of language, it is giving little hints to long-term, but yet hidden and slowly developing agendas. It is shooting up red flags that there may be some underground apostate teaching that is going on, maybe in some Sunday school classes. It is giving a hint, ladies and gentlemen, that it's not going to be long before your identification on your sign is taken off of your church. And then you just become an interdenominational and you're not identifying with any one particular thing. It is a sign of great danger. I won't tell you what the root cause of this is. I told you 2 weeks ago the root cause of it is sin. You need to be aware of these little code words that are out there that are used to suck people in. And again, verse number 4, we're going to see have crept in unaware. What a wonderful truth we see there. But you see these little code words. Be alert to the code words that false teachers will use, that apostates will use. Folks, we should no more tolerate false doctrine than we would tolerate sin. Perhaps you didn't hear me. We should no more tolerate false doctrine than we should tolerate sin. The reason churches today are tolerating false doctrine and getting on the edge of it is because they are tolerating sin all within it. When a church goes to tolerating sin, they are already on the path of false doctrine and are likely already going down that road or embedded in it. Friends, this is why you can't have sin in church. Sin will lead to false doctrine. This is why the church of God must be clean. It must be pure. It must be something that is holy and presentable unto God in glory. You cannot allow sin in because false doctrine will follow. And churches today that are tolerating sin, and if you're aware of any that are, you rest assured of the fact that there's false doctrine in them somewhere. That is a telltale sign of false doctrine that is within the church of God. Jude, in this particular verse of Scripture, he is letting us know of the demand and how he had the demand to write about the doctrine. But notice the durability as well that he speaks of. Further, of course, in verse number 3, the durability. He says, look at this, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Underscore that, once delivered. When Jude speaks of that faith which was once delivered, now don't miss this, it is referring to the full counsel, the full canon of the Word of God. It is referring to the Scriptures of God. And anybody who goes to tampering with the Scriptures of God, you are dabbling in dangerous, dangerous apostasy. You do not mess with God's Word. The Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, it is durable. The Word of God is settled. The Bible is durable and the Bible is settled. We don't have to write a new Bible. We don't have to find a new message. We don't even have to water down the one that we've got. Let me just recap where we're at right now. Jude sat down with his pen in his office to write a letter exposing modern day apostasy, didn't he? His original intention, though, was to write about God's grace. God interrupted him. He said, I don't want you to write about my grace. I want you to write about this threat to the modern-day believer and the church. You're familiar with it, and I want you to write about it. That's what God told him to do. I don't want us to miss this. Jude wanted to tell the old story of grace one more time. But Jude got distracted from it, or detoured from it. By necessity, because somewhere along the road, the church and the people in the church had gotten distracted from the main gospel. Great will be the day in the church of God when the preachers of God can devote all of their time to praying, preparing, and preaching the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not having to worry about running down roads to be able to clean up a bunch of messes in the church that have been caused by sin. Amen. If you're with me, say amen right now. I firmly believe, but yet with such sadness I say this, that one day when we get to heaven, we're going to learn that there's going to be a lot of people that are in hell because the church of God and the people of God got so distracted with a bunch of junk falling into the devil's trap that the preachers of America, the preachers of the world, had to go down a different path and had to detour themselves from the gospel of Jesus Christ to preach the truth of God in the doctrines of God. May it never happen here. May there never come a time that we have an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, but because we've been distracted by something that has gone on in our life, because sin has gotten a grip on somebody's life, that we have to detour from that, and that we have to go down a different path to expose sin, to distract the church from the main purpose why the church was established in the first place. God help us to keep the gospel the central focus of everything. Without the gospel and the common salvation of God, we have nothing else. I don't get hung in a bunch of weeds and a bunch of stuff. I just don't know that I'm going to stand before God one day and Him get on me about having choir robes for the choir. I just don't know that I'm going to give an account for that, and you're not either. But I tell you, when we get distracted, from sharing Jesus to a lost and a dying world. There's going to come a day when we stand before that righteous and that just God and look into His holy eyes, and He lets us know that we missed it. And as a result, people are going to perish. There is His original intention. He wanted to write about the grace of God. There was His ordered interruption. God stepped in and said, you're going to have to write a different letter. A letter exposing modern day apostasy. But then there is an orderly interaction. An orderly interaction. His orderly interaction. You know, the truth is, I almost skipped over this. I almost just made this a two-point message, and I know y'all would have said amen there. I almost skipped over this. Simply because of how the shades of it we had dealt with already in verse number 2, the previous verse. It is so interesting to me how Jude deals with a very similar topic in verse 3 that he just dealt with in verse 1. He just uses some different language in it. He just changes his words a little bit. And the more I thought about this, the more I thought that we needed to explore it again. Because if Jude saw the need to talk about it twice, why shouldn't we? In as many verses. Now think about two things with me having to do with his orderly interaction. There is, first of all, we see the determination that old Jude had. Talked a minute ago about his passion. Old Jude, he had some determination for God. Look again in verse number 3. He says, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. Now you notice that word earnestly. It is speaking of a struggle. Write that down. It is speaking of a struggle. That word contend that we see, it is speaking of agony. He is saying right here that he is going to earnestly exhort you. Earnestly exhort you. He's saying you're going to struggle with agony. Struggle with agony while contending for this faith. Struggle with agony for the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, whether they wanted it or not, the battle to confront and to correct apostasy in their church and in their lives, it had now begun. It didn't matter. They were now in that battle. The devil's assets had already been deployed. And they had now already made their way into the holy confines of the work of God. The battle cry had been sounded, and there could be no going back now. They were going to have to dig their heels into the truth of God. They were going to have to be determined that they were neither going to bend, bow, or borrow from what was right. God help each one of us. Dig our heels into the truth of God. We will not bend, we will not borrow, and we will not bow from anything that is right. Swim, sink, or drown, we're going to go for God and we're going to live for Him. And in this, Jude is simply claiming the words of Jesus when he said, he that is not with me is against me. Friends, if you're not 100% with the Lord Jesus, you're working against Him. We don't realize how our dabbling in sin and getting out and pleasing, that's this gratification of our flesh. We don't realize how much we're working against God. We learned just last week or a week before that when we are not walking with God, living for God, and serving God, doing our best to honor Him, God will fight against us. Against us. Who here wants to fight with God? I don't. I have no chance of winning that battle. And if we are not 100% on with God, you are fighting against God. And your defeat is inevitable. Your defeat is quickly going to make its way. May we be determined in our heart that we will be with God. We will not go against His word. We will live for Him. It is not a matter of apostasy one day coming to the church. It is a matter that apostasy is already in the church doors. It is doing damage to churches all across our nation. And we as God's people, we've got to be determined that we are going to stand up. We are going to confront it head on. And we, by God's grace, are going to correct it. We need to have some determination for the Lord before we get ruined in all this stuff that we are in. Determination works. When nothing else works, determination will work. See, a river cuts through rock, not because of its power, because of its persistence. What would we get done for God if we were just persistent in doing the will of God? No matter how many times we were rejected, we were just determined. No matter how many times we were poked fun of, we were just determined. No matter how many times our family rejected us, we were just determined, determined, determined that one day I'm going to stand before God with my shoulders high and I have done what was right. There'll be nothing greater than that moment. Jude said that we need to earnestly contend. We need to struggle in agony for the faith of God with determination. Determination, friends, is what it's going to take for us to overcome. Sometimes when you get out into the struggle, it's easy for mud to go to flying in a hurry. It's easy for you to get in the flesh. Have I ever been in the flesh? Bunch of liars. Your spirit is not led by God, it's led by the devil. Couldn't find my keys this morning at home. Keys to the church. Knowing what the devil was doing. Lo and behold, I find my keys. Turn left out of my street. Drive down Beach Road. Cross Battlefield Parkway. The light was turning green as I crossed. So what did I do? Already running late. As I was approaching the middle part of the intersection, a Ford F-250 Super Duty truck pulls out in front of me, turning right off of Battlefield Parkway. And did not only go the speed limit for all of Dietz Road and Burning Bush Road and Long Hollow Road, but went 12 miles below the speed limit. All over the road. I mean, more in the other lane than in ours. Knowing all alone that the devil was on me. Hand on the horn. I'd go horn cussing. I was going to do it. Practicing every bit of restraint that I had. Dear God, I've got to stand up and preach in a little while. I have got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I have got to have your anointing. I've got to have your touch. Oh God, help this person to run off into the ditch. I can't stand this. All the way down Long Hollow Road, we come to, what's the road? We come to turn right. Kay Conley, is that what it is? Come to turn right. Guess which way they turned? They turned right. What is it, 200 or 300 yards, 27 right there? Come to 27 and I'm watching all along which way is the blinker going to turn. I figured it would turn right because that was the last opportunity that he could get out of my way before I had an opportunity to pass him. No, he's going to turn left. He's heading toward Lafayette. Walk down here. He puts his blinker on, he turns left, and he finally gets out into the intersection and boom! There I go around him on the left side. Didn't look. I didn't sound the horn. I didn't do anything. I was proud of myself. Y'all give me a hand right now. I was proud of myself. It's hard sometimes. The thought in my mind was this lunatic, this blessed person in front of me sees that I have a tie on, knows that it's Sunday morning, knows that I'm probably on my way to church. The last thing I need to do is give a bad testimony to God. Oh, it was difficult. The last thing I needed to do, determination, knowing that I was going to deal with this issue, I bit my tongue all the way. Determination. It gets difficult, but we must do it with decency.
We must do it with decency. Now, we want to continue to study this verse of Scripture, and we're going to understand and bring all of verse 3 together. Now, I mentioned a moment ago that word contend that we see, it is giving the idea of agony. Do you remember? Agony. When I hear that word agony, I can't help but think about the ministry of prayer. The ministry of prayer. You see, I'm reminded of Luke chapter 22 and verse number 44, where the Bible declares to us, and being in agony, Jesus prayed more earnestly. Do you see the parallel there? Agony and earnestly. Jesus prayed and he struggled in agony through this matter. Folks, waging this war against apostasy, it is not only going to take determination, but it is going to take prayer to have victory over these things. I like the way that McGee said it. He put it this way. He said, the thought here is to contend for the faith without being contentious. To contend without being contentious. Have you ever found yourself trying your best to witness to somebody or help them along in their spiritual lives, but yet you constantly find yourself having to go back and clean up a mess that some other professing Christian attempting to do the same thing, or so they said, had made before you for the cause of the gospel? Have you ever found that? I find it all the time. Somebody that had been hurt in church. Somebody that had been hurt by their neighbor who professed Christ, their coworker who professed Christ, and you're constantly having to try to go back and clean up a bunch of stuff that gets in the way of the work of God. Folks, sometimes we don't realize how badly we are stepping on our very own message. Being contentious over the things of God will do nothing but repel people from it. Our actions and our attitudes and all of our ambitions, you see, they have become so toxic about the things of God and the believers today that we honestly give off an impression of bitterness to this world. Why would anybody want anything to do with that? An impression of bitterness that we have. What we believe may be right. We may be right on track about it. But the problem that we have is created in our advancement of what we believe to be right because we do it in such a mean spirit. And we develop a reputation that is so corrupt, that is so contaminated, that is so compromised that people want to have nothing whatsoever to do with it. One of the hardest things I've ever had to deal with in my life when it comes to business and even in ministry for some 25 years combined now has been this matter of a lack of decency in God's people putting forth the true doctrine of God with the mercy, peace, and love in a way that furthers and advances the cause of Christ above anything else. I wish that we as Bible-believing fundamentalists would learn that we can contend without being contentious. We can have convictions without being condescending. We can, ladies and gentlemen, have a form of communication with people without being critical of them about everything. The Holy Spirit rarely will deal with your heart about my life. The Holy Spirit will rarely deal with your heart or my heart about your life outside of the pastor and preaching. We're not going to stand before God for everybody else. Why do we see the need to constantly stay in the middle of everybody else's world? When we got ours so messed up and fouled up, we can't even focus on ours. When you get your life perfect, when I get my life perfect, maybe then I can get into my wife's life. She knows that ain't never going to happen. God help us to realize that we need to worry about ourselves and be decency and making sure we're right with God. We must never forget that we are flag bearers of the very truth of God, the banner of our Lord Jesus Christ, the truth of God to a dark and dying world in apostasy. And how? Don't miss this. And if we want that truth to be productive, we've got to watch how it is proclaimed. Now I want you to write this down. I'm finished. Sister Mickey, you can come on to the piano. But I want you to write this down. Jude is telling us something here that we don't need to miss. He told us something similar in verse number 2. Remember how we talked about it? Godly morals are private decency on public display. You write that down. Godly morals are private decency on public display. Friends, the depth of the mercy and the peace and the love, the decency that we show as we are giving out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will bring into question whether or not we are even giving out the truth. Which causes people to run the other direction and never trust us. May all of us learn to check our decency at Calvary. And to remember that no matter who we are, what we're dealing with, we're flag bearers of the truth of Christ, and we've got to follow Him. Jude had a sudden change in plan. It was divinely ordered for the furtherance of the work of God in dealing with this matter of apostasy. As Sister Mickey plays a song of invitation right now, my question to you is this. Are you in the middle of a sudden change of plans in your life? Are you on one of those roads you never thought that you would be on before? You had it all figured out. You had your plans lined out, what you were going to do. You knew it. But then suddenly there came a change of plans. Most of the time we fight against that. Maybe some of us today just need to find us a place to pray and say, Lord, I'm having a sudden change of plans in my life right now. I want to handle it with the mercy, peace, and love of God. I want to handle it with decency. Because we've got to remember that God's sudden change of plans, divinely ordered plans in our lives, they are His plan. And we've got to find a way to further His work in it. So instead of pushing it back, let's embrace it and say, Lord, I'm going to follow You. Stand to your feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Altars of God are open. How many of us tonight or truly today are having that sudden change in plans? We didn't see what we're dealing with coming. We didn't understand it. We didn't want it even. We didn't expect it. We want nothing to do with it. But understand, they may be divinely ordered. God may be dealing with us and trying to get our attention about this or about that to be more fruitful and beneficial for Him. God can use our sudden change of plans, and we see that in the book of Jude. God took what His plan was, He diverted it, and He gave us this beautiful letter that helps us so much. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed right now. Just you and me, these are praying. I was talking a few minutes ago about the deliverance, the common salvation of God. There's a God who loves us. Died for us, gave His life for us. Do you know that heaven would be your home if you died today? 100% certain that heaven would be your home if you died today. Have you experienced that deliverance of God? If you have not done so, and you're not sure about your eternal destination, what I want to ask you to do is what I ask everybody to do. Every service, I want to ask you to let your eyes meet mine. It's just you and me. I'm looking across this building right now. Just look at me and keep looking at me so I can quietly pray for you. I will not come to you. I will not do anything of the sort. I promise you that. I just want to quietly pray for you. The Lord Jesus sees your heart. He loves you, friend. As God's people pray, I want to give you an opportunity to come to Christ. I can't come to you. I promised I wouldn't. But I want you to come to Him. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. I'm going to pray. You step out of your seat. I'll know why you're here. And I'll tell you how you can be saved. Father, I come before You in Jesus' precious, holy, and blood-stained name with a grateful heart for Your Word and what You've taught us in it. Lord, as I bow, I pray that You would deal with every heart in this building. Lord, may we be people that operate our lives in decency for the Lord. Righteousness for Him. Have Your will and way done in this time. Be with those that are lost. Lord, help them to come to the Savior, to know that the Lord loves them and wants to save them. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed as these continue to pray. If you're a candidate for baptism, you can make your way out. Mickey's playing Savior, Savior. I told you a minute ago in a fun, lighthearted moment about what I dealt with this morning. I bet many of you dealt with some similar things. Folks, decency. Decency. We need help with this. Decency. Savior, Savior, she's playing. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling. Please don't pass me by, boy. I remember that night I gave my heart to the Lord. I truly was begging to Him, Lord, don't pass me by. And you know what? He didn't. He sure didn't. She's playing this chorus. Thank you so much, Miss Mickey. You can be seated. We're going to baptize here in just a second. Got two to baptize, and that is exciting. Are you glad for that? Say amen. 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 Excited about that. Miss Lexi, would you mind going down? I think somebody may be bringing up the children, but would you mind going down and helping them along with that? Thank you so much. I really do appreciate that. I just want to mention a couple of announcements while they get that ready, okay? They'll be out in just 1 second. I'm so glad you're here today. Trust the Lord helped you with something in your life. I'm glad to have the Andrews Missionaries with Rock of Ages. It's a blessing to have them here today. They've been here before. Wave at us, all of you.